Country, and your opinion or your perspective or just a comment, our call-in number is 895-1114. We love to hear from you. Do my best to respond to messages that are through the Facebook page, so you can also message us there, Love in the 21st Century, and let us know your thoughts. So it'll be an engaging show, and hopefully you'll learn something about us and hear about the new directions for the show. But without further ado, Miss Emily, will you please intro the song?
Yes, it's So Insane by Discovery, and I feel like it's such a great example of what can happen either when somebody's getting swept off their feet or maybe like when they're in the middle of a relationship. And yeah, I just love the way they encapsulate those moments in this song.
Awesome. Love in the 21st Century is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Star Community Credit Union, inviting you to experience the difference between a credit union and a commercial bank. Since 1958, locally owned Star Community Credit Union has been serving the greater Chico community with local banking and financial services. At 550 Salem Street, visit starcreditunion.com or call 895-1947 for more information. And I can personally testify they are a great bank. I bank there. All right. Yes, we're all about personal experience here on Love in the 21st Century. So, yeah, we are in the middle of the summer of 2015, and we're hosting the show again, Love in the 21st Century. We started this show about it'll be 2 years in October, that I know. So I remember that. I remember that the proposal process to the program committee here at KZFR. And originally, the idea for the show came, you know, as many great ideas do, came a lot earlier than that. It came probably, you know, 3 or 4 years before I was even able to, like, host a radio show, and or knew I could host a radio show, like, they would let me be on the air talking to people. And I came to an orientation with the idea that after I'd read this book called Love, What Life is All About by Leo Buscalia, and it had inspired me to have a larger conversation about love. In the reason, not really regarding relationships, honestly. I had been inspired to talk about love in the broader sense of the unconditional love, the love that isn't questioned that it exists. And I mean, obviously, I say that, and it's very questioned that it exists. But in my mind, you know, everything we do relates back to love. So we don't call it love because in the English language, the American English language, we have a very logical, scientific way of expressing things and less emotional based. In other languages, in Italian and Latin, Spanish, Latin-based languages, you hear a lot more expressions of love, different words for the same, but different words that explain love in different ways. In English, we talk about love and, you know, people are, it's like, you know, you could not really care about what you're talking about, or it's just like an expression to show some kind of emotion, but we don't have a real deepening for it. And for me personally, Tammy, this host of the show, the reason I chose to bring it up is that I feel like what we do every day, you know, why we wake up in the morning, why we, you know, go to whatever job you end up working at, you have some level of caring for it. You know, there might be, you might have grown some part of the stain in that process, you know, for your life too. Like, that's definitely possible. But there's a deeper reason, like, that we do the things we do. And so looking at that from a place of love, like, what is it about that particular thing that you do, and why is it, and where does that love, that caring come from? I think it's easier for people that have maybe a passion that they're driven about to see that. If they're, you know, if they're a musician, if they're an artist, if they are in a relationship, you know, it's easy because you're like, you have that thing, or, you know, that person, or that, you know, path that's pulling you. And for me, that's love. That, for me, that is, the passion is love. Why I wanted to host this show is because I have a deep caring concern for people. I love people. I think that people are able to flourish much greater when they know that there is a person out there that cares about them and has them in mind. And so this show is really just an opportunity to take a look into everybody's life. Take a look into your personal life, how you personally show up for yourself. We did a series on self-love and action, and that was a really passionate thing for me, because the shows that we talk about, to me, these are things that generally are things that are going on in my life. So self-love in action is like, how do I show up for myself on a daily basis? How do I treat the people in my life to show up for themselves? How is it when they're not showing up for themselves? How does it affect me? So all these shows relate back to a deeper concept of self for me, as well as for, I'm hoping, the people that are listening. Hoping. we've done various shows. Yeah.
I have a question for the pioneer host of the show. As the pioneer host of the show, Tammy, you know, having laid out what the basically the angle of the show is, what's your ideal listener response to what the show puts out there?
That they're listening.
Right. Do you want, I mean, like, if somebody's listening, and like, if you were just to imagine, you know, for the efforts you put in getting the show off the ground and things like that, if you had an ideal response from your listener base, you know, how would you like them to take what they hear and learn from this show, you know, into their lives?
That's an interesting question, Julian. I feel like that happens. I feel that people are listening to it, and that it is being brought into their consciousness, that it's something that that maybe if they weren't aware of it before, that they now are. And it's just kind of like a seed that grows. It's something that, you know, the concept is going to grow into some tree, maybe into some flowers in their mind. It's going to allow them to see a different possibilities out there. Do I, on a deeper level, want them to agree with what I'm saying? Not necessarily. I don't think it's not about them being like, oh yeah, love is everything. Yes, I'm going to go love everybody now. It's more just opening of a perception that there's more than what they've already been taught is possible. Because I feel like we are so limited in our society to be like, this is the way it is. This is the way it goes. Like, we're not taught to think beyond our, you know, certain confines of our relationships. Like, why is this relationship not working? Why is this communication not working in your relationship? That's why I enjoyed doing nonviolent communication shows. Because sometimes it really is in the way that you're communicating. Really, it's not because, you know, your partner is, you know, difficult to deal with. Maybe it's just, like, actually in a deeper thing that you aren't taking a look at. And by listening to the show, did I intentionally go, well, this is going to help people with relationship issues? No, I think that it's going to help everybody communicate better at some level.
Are you hoping that maybe this kind of conversation evokes more thought about love in an individual's life? And because what sounds
yes.
like you're, yeah, okay. So it sounds like what yes. you're saying was, you know, we're bringing love into everything we do, right?
Right.
Or we can. We have the option to.
Changing perspectives, I guess, is like whether or not you communicate it more. It's the shifting of perspective because it's everything we do anyway. Like mm-hmm. I feel like the show covers a lot of different topics that it's things that we do anyway. So we can choose to see the light or we can choose to see the dark. So we can see how we can grow or we can see how we're failing. And so I just changing perspective, not changing the situation, not changing, you know, a difficult situation or, you know.
Or another person.
But allowing you to just shift the perspective, be like, maybe something else is possible. And is that going to happen in an hour? No. In our show, is that going to happen in 3 months of shows? Probably not. But the point is, it starts, it plants the seed.
Yeah, and we started as a every other week half hour show.
Indeed.
And now we're a once a week hour long show with mm-hmm. three hosts. And still, after all this time, we still forget to hit record sometimes when the show starts.
Right. Well, actually, I have intentionally not even thought about recording it because they now automatically record it on the website.
Oh.
Yeah.
So tell us all about it, Tammy.
So if you want to hear or listen to our shows after the fact, you can actually go to the KZFR website, kzfr.org, and go to the programs tab, go to Tuesdays, go to 5 o'clock, and you will see Love in the 21st Century. Click on that link, mm-hmm. and then scroll all the way to the bottom of the page. And at the bottom of the page, there will be shows listed all the way back to January. Mm-hmm. Isn't that unbelievable?
Wow, that's great.
I don't know how long they're going to be there. So, so if you really up. If you really like a show, download it.
Yeah.
If you can do that, I'm not sure.
And to my knowledge, we're the only show on KZFR that is dedicated to the subject of love.
I would guess so. I mean, imagining the challenges that I had to get on the air when they thought, how could somebody possibly talk about love so much?
They will.
And we have.
When it was a half hour every other week, they didn't think it could be done.
Yeah, and now we're hour long show once a week. So
yeah, and we've had guests call in from all over the world. And we've had guests sit in who have been all over the world as well. And we have somebody calling in right now, apparently.
Apparently. So Tammy's taking that call. In the meantime.
Hello, are you there?
Oh, nice.
Hello.
Maybe not.
Okay, try calling back one more time.
All right.
Well, I was going to say in the meantime, Julie and I want to hear what inspired you to. I know that Tammy approached you about the show to be the co-host a couple years ago now. And I wanted to hear about what drew you to.
Can I say why I invited Julian?
Yes, actually, I would love to hear that.
I've never actually asked that question.
I want to know the
you
answer.
You asked me to start the show with you, and I was like, sure, and never even asked why.
Oh, really? I feel like we've had this conversation maybe yesterday. Whatever. Maybe you still remember having the conversation. So I had my history here at KZFR is I hosted a radio show called The Point Is, which is a news-based radio show, and I enjoyed hosting it and like being able to bring that social justice topic, which I often try to bring to the show here, just in a different perspective, is, you know, one of the main reasons I ended up being at KZFR was because of that radio show. And so when I came back to KZFR wanting to host Love in the 21st Century, like I said, I wanted to be able to cover those social justice issues, but just from a different perspective. I wanted to help people broaden their understanding of themselves. And when I was making the writing up the description for the show, I was actually speaking with another gentleman who is who used to be the owner of Cycle Sports, Michael Peavy. We actually did a demo show, Love in the 21st Century, before I asked Julian to be on the show.
Oh, I see.
And it was, yeah, I know, the truth comes out, right? And it was a really dynamic show because we had, like, the kind of the back and forth between, like, the male and the female perspective, as well as just, like, he wasn't, like, as Julian can be, you know, can be the questioning of the of some of the topics that we talk about. Mm. And so it inspired me to start thinking, oh, you know, having a co-host in that dynamic would be really good. Plus, it's just when you don't necessarily have a guest or, you know, some of the topics we could go on for a while just having a conversation with about anyway on the air. So that was when, you know, 2 years ago, like in August, 2 years ago when we did that demo show. And then Mike was kind of like going back and forth. He wasn't sure he could commit to being on the show. He was interested in helping out. He liked the idea. He had actually talked to KZFR separately about doing a similar show about love and relationships prior to that. And, you know, we were about to go on the air on a regular basis, and so I needed somebody that was going to be willing to commit to being part of the show. And Julian, dun, 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 had posted on Facebook something about wanting to be a part of a love blog, I think it was. Do you remember that post?
Yeah, I was contemplating writing a love blog for a friend of mine, Mary. She runs Elemental 40 in Reading.
Right. Okay, so you posted that, and I was like, you know, light bulb went off, like, oh, Julian could be a good co-host. Julian's a funny guy. Julian and I can bicker back and forth for a while.
We have some practice with that.
Yes. Working at the Graduate, where we originally met, what, now 12 years ago?
Something like that. Working in a kitchen.
Working in a kitchen.
Yes. If it can be called that. We love you, Graduate.
It's kitchen. It's totally a kitchen. There's things to cook in there. So, yeah, we, you know, that was how our relationship started, was in the kitchen at the Graduate having philosophical conversations while, you know, frying fries. And we were probably two of the most, like, philosophically minded people in that kitchen. So we talked to each other a lot.
There was a lot of debates and yelling, and other people were like, you just watch the game while you flip the burgers and not discuss.
Yes.
NPR, you know?
Yes.
So anyway. So I guess, are we going to segue into why I said yes?
So if you were the caller, give us a call back, 895-1114. If you're a new caller and you want to call in, call us, 895-1114. Yes, Julian.
And Tammy runs the board, at least for now. And so when she's talking and the phone's ringing, she can't do both. So,
this is true.
Yeah. So if you're listening. So segueing into why I said yes, because Tammy and I disagree and bicker a lot and still have managed to be friends over the years, I was like, that sounds fun. I tend to be a that sounds fun type of person. So when it's somebody presents an opportunity, you know, like I had a buddy's mom bought a cab company, so I drove cab for a year. It was like, so just random things, like, yeah, I'll do that, I'll try that.
And I mean, to that credit, like, I don't think either of us thought about, like, the length of the show.
No.
Like I can't believe we've been doing it for this long already. And I didn't think, like, oh, like, it just worked at that time.
So while she addresses that caller, so why it worked for me in my life was another form of media for me to experience and be a part of. I'm a local musician, and I've done comedy and theater, things of that nature. So being on radio was kind of a fun fit. There's a radio in my high school back in Michigan, a radio station that I was familiar with. So it felt like familiar but new territory. And then the subject matter is something I'm really passionate about, love. I, too, agree that all emotions in some form or another are love. I've heard said that the furthest emotion from love is fear, and even that often is as a result of love of self, love of stasis, things of that nature. So I do believe that all emotions are some way of a fragmented version of love, or reflected version of love. So I felt like the show had opportunity to talk about some real stuff, and I don't know that a lot of people in their day-to-day have the opportunity to talk about real stuff.
Or that they Or that they do.
Or that they do.
So,
well, and from a real place. I mean, yeah. Part of the feedback I've heard about this show is the level of authenticity in mm-hmm. conversation and how enjoyable it is for people to tune into. So, yeah, not just talk about real right. love, but from a real place.
And as far as what I feel I might bring to the show, I feel as though often talk about love can get really lofty. And because we only have so many words to describe it, that talking about love can get airy and not very grounded in reality sometimes. So, as Tammy mentioned earlier, sometimes the questioner, when we have somebody on, I kind of have them in the hot seat about why they do what they do sometimes and what the real root of their passion work is about. So, speaking of passion work, and a segue into our third host here, who came to us on the show through her passion work.
Yeah, Tammy invited me.
Yes.
Didn't show up and knock on the door.
She was invited on the show via her passion work. I believe Emily Rose was our first guest, actually. I think so. One of our first guests.
Tammy's questionably nodding over there, but I actually think it was.
One of our first. Yeah. And then...
I was the first repeat guest.
First repeat guest, yeah. That's right. And during her 365 Days of Celibacy project. And then also came back on a third time as she launched her book,
Break Your Bad Love Habits.
Break Your Bad Love Habits.
Yep, which you can find on Amazon, apparently.
Yep. No, I'm just kidding. So, being a relationship coach and otherwise worldly experienced and entertaining individual, Emily was a great fit to start hosting with us as well. So, how did being a host of the show segue, or rather, come in line with your life, Emily?
Well, the first time, I was on the show. Tammy had found my blog about celibacy, and it wasn't really about celibacy so much as it was about love in so many different ways and so many different forms. So it fit, I think, really well with what she was wanting to talk about on the show, which is love not just in relationship to relationships, but greater than that, beyond just romantic relationships. And so she and I got together, and eventually Julian showed up, and we all sat around and had a really nice conversation. And then I came on the show, and then I came on again for I have my coaching practice, Emily Rose Coaching. I'm a self-actualization coach for women and slash relationship coach. And so talking about some of the things that I was working with in the business was like the second time around, and the third time I came on was because of the book, Break Your Bad Love Habits. So it just seemed that, and of course, this is over the course of like a year and a half or so, and developing friendships outside of the radio show with you guys and with Tammy, and the conversations that the three of us, I think, or the two of us, either two pair, would have were entertaining enough to, inspire more conversation and maybe fill an hour. No, I don't know. but the three of us together can definitely fill an hour. So it came into my life. The show is a blessing for me in a lot of ways because I get to talk about what I love to talk about and learn a lot more all the time. I mean, especially when we go into topics around romantic relationship. I mean, to me, relationship is, we have relationships with everything and everyone. Relationships are the foundation of how we are in this world. We relate to everything around us. And so, so I love talking about my relationship or one's relationship to the whole, to another person, to themselves. Just approaching conversation from the avenue of analyzing relationship is really intriguing to me, and we get to do that a lot on this show. And so through conversations with guests and with you guys, I get to grow and also offer what I've learned. So it's a plus. I love the radio. I've been on the radio before, and it's a easy, fun medium for me. So of course I was nervous at first, but that was a while ago, and now it's just fun.
Now it's just fun.
Now it's just fun.
So we have Go ahead.
No, Sammy's been working with the phone over there.
Yeah, it's been busy. I wonder what's happening. We don't know.
But so I guess, you know, one of the things we were going to talk about is kind of the direction that things are going.
Yes, absolutely. So what I've been playing with the phones. Yeah, so Stu, who called, who's been trying to call, and I guess our phone lines aren't working. So, you know, I was wondering if that was happening a while ago, and I feel better, because then I could just pretend like we've just been, tons of people have been calling us. And
it has been not ringing off the hook.
Yes, exactly. So, Stu, I just tried calling you a few times on our other line, and it's still not going through. So, so yeah, if you want to try it again, then you're welcome to do that, 895-1114.
Or a message on the Facebook.
Or a message on the Facebook if you're able to do that, so if you have internet connection.
The FB.
Yes. So, yeah, we can talk about direction of the show here shortly. We have to do a few studio things before that. But, yeah, so I heard you, Emily, talking about what brought you to the show. And, yeah, I can't remember if Emily was our first guest, but definitely you were definitely our first repeat guest. And, yeah, I kind of feel like this has been, like, the natural evolution of the show. Like I said before, Julian and I didn't think about the length of the show beyond just, like, getting the show on the air. Like, we were like,
thank God.
It was yeah, seriously. I mean, maybe had I thought about it a little bit more, I might have been like, wow, that's a little intimidating. Like, how long are we going to do this show for?
Quite a commitment.
Yeah, quite a commitment. But it was like, yeah, let's do this. This is the right thing to do. And it's been a good time learning and experience. And I was thinking about it earlier, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, kind of talking about the different concepts of love. And when I was reading this book by Leo Buscalia called Love, which I promote and suggest to read everyone to read, Leo was a professor at Berkeley, and he taught a free class on love because the university wouldn't offer it for any credit. And the students would come to the class, and the class was always full. And it wasn't ever about answering the question of what is love, because I think that's, like, you know, the question of all time. Like, what is love? Who do you love? What is it you love? It's just this ongoing question that's always continuously being asked. And so that was part of the inspiration for this show, but also the different layers of what loving is. So to love oneself, to love others, whether it be in relationship or in your friendships, in your family, and to eventually, like, go to this level of loving in an unconditional, kind of in a spiritual way, you know, that we might consider with, you know, Mahatma Gandhi and Mother Teresa, the love of just being present to others, whether or not you know them, and whether or not in our mind they deserve to be loved. So these concepts have helped in my mind to guide the show, and with the input of community members, because we're always getting input from friends, people that I meet that hear our show, people that recognize my voice. It's kind of interesting thing when somebody recognizes your voice. And
you have a distinct, yeah. You have a distinct voice.
Yeah, but yeah. It's still kind of interesting when they recognize you from the radio.
Yeah, it's great.
You know. And so getting their input, like, we've been really wanting to do the LGBTQ population, and since Pride is coming up, that's kind of the new direction for this coming week that we're going to be heading. We'll talk more about that and also just the directions for the show here briefly. But what I wanted to mention is that I feel like we each kind of bring in a level of those dynamics of the love of self, the love of relationship, when we're talking whether it's like family, friends, lovers, and then kind of the broader sense of love and social justice, love and community, and love in a spiritual sense. And so, like, Julian, you kind of bring in a really, like, deep understanding of yourself and, like, an evolution of, like, who you've been. Obviously, you bring in love in different perspectives, but that self-love direction has guided a lot of what I feel like I've seen you develop through. Mm-hmm. And then, Emily, obviously, you do a lot of coaching, you know, and so that is, and even your self-proclaimed, like, your love of relationship. So that comes to, like, that second tier. And then for me, like, I'm just, like, a social justice junkie, mm-hmm. apparently.
You know? Yeah, you are.
So that third layer, you know, I mean, that's the reason that getting the show on the air was such an important part of it for me.
I got to back up your social justice junkie status. I have seen Tammy offered amazing business deals for great money and turn it down because it just wasn't in line with what she wanted to do. Like, as far as, like, that didn't match, like, her social perspective with what she wanted to do with her other endeavor, which one of many, which is a little coffee cart.
Yeah.
A big little coffee cart with chairs and tables now.
Yeah, it evolves as all things do.
Well, I think that, like, it's like all things that we take apart to look at, we also have to recognize, of course, that they all fit together, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. They're all the whole thing. So it's like, you know, without a commitment to self-love, mm-hmm. Tammy may not have been able to say no to money or something like that, right?
Right.
So it's like...
yes to money. Let's just
yeah, right, okay. No. into opportunities that compromise your integrity.
Yes, but I like to think about the value of what it is, where my value lies in terms of how I am making money. Julian, I've heard you before give a good speech on your perspective about money.
Oh, on money.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what I think about money is that it is a measurement of wealth, not wealth itself. And that if somebody spends $50 on an item, they're spending the time it took them to make that $50 on that item. So it may not be of much significance to them, or it might be of great significance to them. And the same goes with tipping. I would rather get a dollar tip from a college kid than a $5 tip from a billionaire. It just means more. So money's energy. And what happens is people get focused on the measurement of wealth. You know, it's like, here's the ocean, you know. Oh, but there's no ounces in it.
Right.
Yeah, it's just that you don't worry about ounces. It's the ocean, you know.
How many ounces of water is there?
Exactly. It's not about the measurement of wealth. The wealth is the other stuff. And I found in my life a key component to my own personal success and my own endeavors has been to focus on the thing I need rather than the money for the thing I need.
Absolutely. That's smart.
And it's crazy how often the thing you need shows up for not very much money or free when you change your focus.
Well, so, and then the thing that you need is in alignment with embettering. Wait, there's that word. That's not really a word. I love using that word. It's not really a word. Embettering?
it's not a word.
But it's totally not a word. Okay, so, but when you're in alignment with, like, your, you know, when what you're trying to call in is... Mm-hmm. You know, in alignment with your passions, mm-hmm. or with, you know, serving something beyond just yourself, then yes, showing up, things will show up free or easily, you know.
Absolutely. I guess the thing that I was looking for in that speech, mm-hmm. was about money as energy. And there's also another person you can listen to on YouTube called Deep Waters. He is that's what he calls himself on YouTube, Deep Waters. And he is a, like, philosopher, psychologist guy. Inspirational, entertaining to listen to. It's these short little video clips, probably like 15 to 20 minutes long, and he talks about that energy and that, mm-hmm. and that it's us, and it's like we are the money, we are what we value. So if we really want to make an abundance of money, we have to value the time that we're doing it. We have to believe in what we're doing. And so for me, like, when I think about money, you know, on this conversation, it is about being in alignment. You know, that alignment you're talking about, being in alignment for what I do. If I'm just doing it for money alone, then the need of what I'm trying to get becomes less to me. It's interesting. It's like I think of a time when my friend's mom offered to pay me $10 an hour to pick up, like, trash on her out on her ranch when I was already picking up trash. And it was almost like instantly when she offered to pay me, I was like, I'm not so interested anymore. Because I was doing it from a deeper, mm-hmm. place in me. It was so invaluable to me. It was so,
yeah.
It meant so much more just to do it than it was to be like, $10, that doesn't seem like very much money. That's really all it's worth to you? Like, my time is worth a lot to me. So, like, I'd rather my time to do the things I want to do and let the abundance of the ocean come in versus worry about, you know, small amounts. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think part of that is living a life of simplicity,
yes.
as well.
Agreed.
Where you're not living beyond your means and things like that.
Lowering the bar, that's what I like to think of it.
That's the secret to success is make your needs small.
I don't know, just
to get to the success.
I'm going to beg to differ. Only because I heard this really great, I don't know, this lady said this thing to one of my coaching clients who then, the coaching client said it to me, and this was like last year or something, but this lady said, you know, she's like, I'm going to stop trying to do less with less and start trying to do more with more. So to call in more money, mm-hmm. you know, and bigger projects, so you can do more with it, pay more people for their time, you know, hire more help, go further with the movement. So I liked that mindset shift because I do believe that, yes, living simply is important in the sense that to simplify your consumer, you know, the consumer desire, right?
Yes.
To reduce the consumerism in your own life. Consumers buying for the sake of buying. Yeah, get rid of that, right? But and simplify to the base needs. And then treat yourself, right? Like, there are ways of making yourself feel good and allowing money or energy to enhance your life.
Right.
And enhance your projects. So I don't know.
I wouldn't. I wouldn't say that. Yeah. I don't. That by that means that it's a fear or a desire not to have money, but to reduce the need, because it's a conceptual problem. I think in our society that we need certain things. That we need to have a certain kind of car. That we need to have, you know, a certain way of living. That we need to do, you know, have certain things in our home. You know, have certain bills to pay in order to be considered successful. And so again, it's just like a changing of perspective and like, what do you really need to be happy though? What do you need? And actually what I found, and again, and it's a personal journey for everybody. You know, some people thought, yeah, they do need certain toys and things to be happier. I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm saying for me personally, I need more time. I need more time to myself to do the things that make my life better, like cook my own food mm-hmm. and go on long walks and go on bike rides and take mm-hmm. yoga classes. Like, yeah, taking yoga classes usually costs money. It's not like, you know, so I need the money to get there, but I also need the time to enjoy it. And so it's all about changing a perspective. We have very much digressed, and I hope that everybody is, thinking about their own values around how they think about money.
I'd like to comment on money again a little bit more. People often say that money is the root of all evil, and that, you know, they're trying to quote like an old, Bible verse when saying that. But actually the verse says it's the love of money that's the root of all evil, not money itself. Money is an inanimate object.
So maybe that's why we're talking about money, because...
Yeah, because it's the
love of money.
It's the love of money. It's people that's attaching love, right? And I've also heard said, and I believe it to be true, the most valuable thing you can possess is leisure. The most valuable thing you can possess is free time, so that you can do whatever you want with it. And that, you know, when you think about, the terminal nature of living, it's important to value the free time you're able to carve out for yourself in life.
And I think that's a good point, because there are people who get a bunch of free time and don't value it, and they squander it, you know? And so it's not actually valuable at that point, right? Because
it's not valued, yeah.
Or valued. Uh-huh. Or valuable to that person.
Right.
And sometimes money can inspire people into action for the need of it, to meet basic needs. And when people sometimes aren't, don't need money, like when they have, people that pay for their lifestyle, sometimes that, you know, time is squandered, and sometimes it's not.
So our caller did call back in. Sue, are you there? Hello, Sue.
Uh-oh. I really, really want to talk to Sue now.
I know. I really do, too. I don't know why it's not working. Hello?
Do you know which Sue this is?
Hildebrand?
No, it's not Sue Hildebrand.
That's who I was thinking of.
Hi, Sue Hildebrand. We know you're listening.
Maybe that Sue will call in. Anyway, yes, so leisure.
Leisure. Yeah, I will say in my life, I have a landlady. I want to give a shout out to Karen Steinecker and Bob Steinecker. They're my land parents. And I live in a converted one-car garage in an alley. And it's nice, but it's very, very small. And I take care of the front of the property and whatnot. And if not for their support of my artistic endeavors, I wouldn't be nearly as encouraged to keep at them.
Are you there, Sue?
Sue, did you make it?
I mean, I know that you're on the phone, but for some reason it's not playing. All right.
Just lost her.
Just lost her.
Darn it.
But we're going to leave that tone on.
Yeah.
So
we just figured out why.
Yeah.
Okay.
To follow up on what Emily was saying, having somebody that, you know, provides me a really low cost of living has encouraged me to do as much as I possibly can with my free time and energy and what surplus I have in my life now for myself and the community and creatively and things of that nature.
And now you've also created a job that's more in alignment for what you want to do because you had the free time to do something you believed in that's now leading
to
a new direction. So
that's my story too.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, you create the free time to actually discover what it is that you believe in, what you're passionate about, and allow your passion to pull you in that direction.
Yeah, and if you start kicking butt on your dreams and ambition, the people in your life, they'll give you the space to get it done. You know, those are the people that you may owe things to, things of that nature. When they see that you're getting work done, they'll be patient, you know. So
how this relates to love is instead of attaching the love to money, attach it to the passion.
There we go.
Yeah. And also just changing that perspective again, you know, that we talked about at the beginning of the show, changing the perspective of how we view money. So many people are like, oh, I hate money. Like, you know, and I think, and I feel like Julian was saying the same thing, that it's not about not, you know, appreciating money or valuing money. It's about changing your perspective of what money is useful for and seeing more value in yourself versus in just the making of the money. And yeah, just changing your perspective. It's still the same thing. We're still using it to, you know, to get things that we need to purchase things that we have to have in order to survive, such as food, shelter. And it's just the changing of the perspective.
Do I have time to ask one more kind of a little bit of an inquisitive question to you, Tammy?
To me?
To you?
Sure.
I'm curious. Do you feel like, and this is just a fun little conversation maybe, but do you feel like we could maybe interchange the words love and attachment in this society or beyond?
Love and attachment. That's a good question.
Because, so I ask this because when we, in our culture, we value, when we're in a loving, like, romantic relationship, or we have something that we want, like a physical object, we become attached to, we can become attached to an idea, to a person, to a thing, and we can call that love. I love this person, but really there's like an attachment. And maybe the word love in that instance isn't really love, maybe it's attachment, if your definition for love is unconditional, right? Because that's not attachment to how that person is, or who that person, well, not who they are, I suppose we are talking about one individual person, but so love and attachment, what do you think?
So you're asking me, are the two interchangeable?
Do you think the way that we use the word love right now could be substituted with attachment?
I think when we're talking about relationships in the form of partner relationships, friendships, families, yes, you could use an attachment. And I think that I think of it from like a psychological perspective, which is like there's actually an attachment, I want to say like attachment style, survey personality testing you take online. If you search attachment styles, there's I think four main attachment styles, and one is securely attached, meaning that you can have security within yourself. You don't need somebody else in order to feel balanced, whole. You still want that person around, but it's kind of like the difference of when you're a child. This is a lot, they talk a lot about this in child psychology. So when you're young and you get the attention and the that you need from your care provider, then you can become securely attached, or you become avoidantly attached, where you actually avoid the idea of being attached because something has happened where that person is continuously not showing up for you, doing things or doing things that might be violent in nature or be devaluing you as a person. And again, these are like big terms to apply to child development, but you know, we do that by scolding children, and not then praising them when they do the right thing, you know, continuously just pushing them, you know, in a really difficult way, like we would an adult, like, oh, well, don't do that, that's terrible, but not being like, oh, wow, like, I could have said that in a way better way. Like, I could have said, oh, like, will you not do that, please? Like, children are very sensitive beings, so these things can be done very easily, and especially if done repetitively over time, then they grow up and they don't really want anything to do with anybody being around them. Also, children that are in foster care end up with something that's called reactive attachment disorder.
Mm-hmm.
And so where they actually will violently act out towards people that show them love. And so, you know, I've worked with children like that, and it's really heartbreaking. Little young children that don't want to be held, that don't mm-hmm. want to be touched.
Mm-hmm. I ask this because a lot of books and things like that talk about to be able to love unconditionally means to not attach, right? To like to stay in a state of non-attachment so that things can ebb and flow and people can be who they are without, you know, without looking at them with judgment because you're attached to the way they should be or shouldn't mm-hmm. be, right? So that's why I'm curious about that. But I love where you took it. And that was, what, an attachment quiz you were talking about?
Yeah, it's attachment styles.
Attachment styles.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So how do you feel about, like, you know, this kind of push to be in a state of non-attachment?
The reason that I would rather go towards the word love versus non-attachment, what comes to mind is ahimsa, which means non-violence. We translate into non-violence that Gandhi would speak of as ahimsa. But there is no non. There is only the
right.
There is only the presence of something. And so to say attachment, it's like saying that you are in default attached to something. And when we're talking about love, I feel like we're talking the presence of something. It's like they talk about in science that the planet isn't really, there is no heat. Is that how it works? And that it's actually that the absence of the cold.
Mm.
And so when we're talking about love, it's like, it's, you know, it's just being open to the perspective. It's like the sun is going to shine. It's going to be there. Like, so it's the presence of it. So it's, I don't feel like it's interchangeable in the way that I think of it. I think there's perspectives of talking about love. When we talk about love in the relationship sense, you can talk about attachment versus non-attachment, but
But you're talking about a constant, like the sun.
Yes.
Like a state of being, there is love, and we can tune into it or out of it depending on our perspectives.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
All right.
And from my thinking, one of the reasons it's love in the 21st century is not so much that love has changed since 1999 as maybe the way we go about finding it and sharing it and expressing it has changed. So
especially with social media.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And we liked it. We did a series on that around the Valentine holiday, and I'm sure we'll be talking about it more. Just talking about how our relationships and how we interact is different. And after this quick break, we will be talking about the kind of new things that'll be happening on the show that you should stay tuned for. And I'm going to try to get Sue on the line. All right.
Let's hear it for Jeb. Bush, that is. Maybe the other Republican presidential seekers will stick with their mopey and dopey negative attacks against Barack Obama's economic policies, but Jeb Bush is going positive. Rather than just nattering about income inequality, for example, Bush is offering his own fresh ideas for middle-class recovery. In a recent interview, the self-described problem solver got down to specifics, proposing a straightforward, simple mechanism for lifting people's incomes. People are going to have to work longer hours, Jeb declared. Through their productivity, he explained, they will gain more income for their families. There you have the worldview of the latest son of a Bush, wanting to be president, perfectly free of any connection to the real world. You have to wonder, has he ever met a working stiff? Americans today are scrambling between two or three part-time, low-wage jobs, working day and night, 6 days a week, to try patching together a living. And full-time employees in our country already have the second longest work week in the industrial world. Also, I hate to pop the bubble that Bush III is living in, but working longer hours and increasing worker productivity does not increase one's income. Since 2000, workers have hiked America's productivity by 25%. But their median paycheck has had zero increase. That's because corporate bosses, many of whom are behind Bush's record campaign war chest of $114 million, have simply pocketed the new wealth that workers created through their greater productivity. This is Jim Hightower saying, Jeb might as well have proposed that working people increase their incomes by doing what he did to become a multimillionaire. He chose rich parents. I suggest that Jeb Bush spend some of that campaign cash he's been given to buy himself a ticket for a one-day visit to reality. What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
All right, so we've got about 10 minutes or less on the show. Sue, are you there?
Yes.
Awesome. We have diligently tried to get you on the air, so I'm glad that you're there and you're able to make your comment.
I want to bring up one point that you folks missed, and that's this. You know, you hawk your computers and all this. And I want to bring up one point in that about that regarding love. Think about this. A computer can't comfort you when you cry, when you need love and all this. And they're not all they're cracked up to be. And I can't even afford one of those machines, nor do I want one, really. I would take it maybe if someone gave it to me, but a computer can't give you love. And you were talking about those crazy machines. I don't even have one because I can't afford one.
Well, thank you for your...
And I happen to be a blind person. And you know that a computer for a blind person, a top-of-the-line one, costs $7,000 with Braille and speech.
Wow. Well...
I don't want one.
This is taking it back to the money conversation, huh?
No, I would take it back for real. I mean, there's things I could do with it, yes, but think about this. A computer can't comfort you when you cry, when you need love. A computer can't give you a hug and a kiss. There's things, those crazy things, can't and won't do.
Absolutely. Right, I definitely agree with you. There is not things that computers can give you, and that is definitely not a particular direction that we've covered the use of technology on one of our shows. So thank you. That's definitely a good suggestion for a show.
I don't want a bunch of technology. I have it, but I don't even use it.
Right. I mean, it's not a need in our life. I mean, it's sort of become something that is a part of our lives, whether we like it or not.
It's not a part of mine.
Well, you go, girl.
Yes.
I wasn't trying to you know, make trouble or say anything bad, but I'm saying we need to learn to talk and care about our neighbors, our friends, etc. And we've lost this due to this crazy so-called technology, which I don't like at all.
Well, thank you for sharing your view on technology and where real love should be coming from. And
real love should come from people, and we need to get back to really caring about folks, and that's what I grew up doing.
We appreciate you, Sue, and thank you for calling in, and thank you for being diligent about calling back in, and potentially we could have you come in and talk on the show sometime about technology and that perspective on love, because
I'm not saying I'm opposed to technology. Please don't get me wrong.
We hear you.
I'm not, but I don't like it when they make it so that you can't use it, like these companies that make these things so-called for blind folks, and then they make it so you can't change a battery yourself. That's when it doesn't make any sense.
Agreed. A couple new show topics have come up tonight, you know, and the money concept isn't something we've ever really talked about on the show either. So, you know, the love of technology, you know, and that's kind of like the paradox, because you're right. It has become a separation tool, as much as it's helped, in a sense, people's opinion that it's helped in our society. It also has become a separation for many people.
I grew up in a town when everybody cared about and helped everybody else. And you know what? We've lost that.
And, you know, that's really apparent when you walk down the street and people are sitting, you know, in a restaurant together and nobody's looking at each other, right?
I live in an apartment complex where nobody cares about anybody, and they look at me like I have a disease because I'm a blind person, and I have a white cane, and I walk down the hall, and they look like me like I got the bubonic plague. I'd like to have a real, honest-to-goodness friend. I don't have any.
Well, that is...
We're your friends, too.
Yeah, definitely.
We love you.
You got some today.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. We hear about you. And, yeah, we'll give you a call soon, and we can talk about, you know, your ideas for the show, because we are always looking for input.
There's not even any recreation for blind folks around here. There is absolutely none anymore. None. N-O-N-E.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have brought a lot to our attention today. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yes.
Have a good afternoon.
Yeah,
thank you.
A beautiful evening. And now I have your number, so I can call you.
So, yes, lots of different directions for this show to go. This is exactly, you know, part of what we were going to be talking about tonight, is kind of the different directions. And like I mentioned before, some of the inspiration comes from our guests that are calling into the show, or comes from our friends, or comes from our own life and experiences of, wow, these aren't things that we're talking about or thinking about. And maybe it's never a concept I've ever thought of, you know, or it's personally affecting my life. But then having a show about it opens my own eyes up. So that's what this show is all about.
I love sitting and talking with my friends and getting into some really good stuff and then making them come in and be on the air. That's yes. really fun.
I wish, you know, there was a way to, like, record some of those conversations more clearly when they're happening, though. Because, you know, there's some things that just can never be repeated that are just...
I totally just sneak my recorder on sometimes, you know, when they're really good.
That's the beginning on the subject of love and technology, where I believe we're on a cusp of a time where pretty much everybody loses their privacy. Equally across the board, where everybody's like, going to get recorded everywhere they go all the time, and it's going to be okay. I think it's happening to a large degree, but I do believe that we're going to reach a point where the technology gets so cheap and efficient and creatable that more and more people will have it. And I feel like that actually could be, this is where I go against a lot of what my friends tend to believe. I do feel like it could be a good thing, so long as everybody loses that privacy equally.
Well,
so long as there's not certain people
just trying to stir things up here, and we don't have very much more time
at the end of the show.
Yeah. Yeah, because the thing is all of these topics that we've just talked about, technology and privacy and things like that, you know, they all have multiple sides. So
things do.
I would love to argue with Julian so much on air.
Which happens on a daily basis, let me tell you.
That'd be great.
Can you guys record one of your arguments one time?
I definitely have.
We
with the
have.
Intention of, you know, showing him later and being like, do you see how you talk to me? But then, of course, it'd just be way more
exactly.
drama later if that
That's
happens.
That's why I don't even bother to record them, because I just know I get in trouble with evidence.
It sounds like this could go on for a while. So we only got a few minutes left in the show.
I love what you just chose.
And we are going to have a song here that Julian...
This is good. This is from back my childhood days. It's just a reference to, you know, there's all kinds of different people in the world, and it takes all of us to do it right.
It sure does.
And
there's only three of us in this room, so, you know, imagine how much we're doing it wrong. And how you can be a part of the conversation to help us do it right. So thank you, Sue, for calling in. You know, everybody has an opinion, something to share, and we appreciate whatever you have to offer. Sometimes people are a little bit shy about being on the radio or calling in, but, you know, unless you speak up, there's not really a way for anybody else to know what's going on with you. We like to believe that people can read our minds, but the truth is, we haven't really perfected that yet.
Let's do love and communication.
Yes, we can do a love and communication show, love and technology, love and money. One of the big things that I wanted to point out about the new direction of the show is that you're going to hear Julian and Emily Rose hosting more directly of the show, and, you know, not all three of us are going to be here in the studio, so look forward to that.
We're going to create a schedule so that, you know, each week the first week, the first Tuesday of the month will be Tammy, and the second Tuesday will be Julian, and the third Tuesday will be me, or something like that, so that we're rotating hosts.
Right.
However, you will always have at least two of us here.
Right. So when those things are all fine-tuned, that will be happening. Again, we'll keep with doing themes so that we are able to go a little bit deeper into conversations, into topics, than we can in just 1 hour. You know, it takes a while to really delve into a lot of these things. So stay tuned for that. There's so much more to talk about, and the reason we do this show. But, you know, we just enjoy ourselves so much that we get off on other tangents. So here is Different Strokes, and stay tuned for Ecotopia. It's always a blessing to hear what Steve and Susan bring us.
Now the world don't move to the beat of just one drum. What might be right for you may not be right for some. A man is born, he's a man of means. Then along come two, they got nothing but the genes. They got different strokes it takes, different strokes it takes, different strokes to move the world.
This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. As promised, Ecotopia is coming up next.
Ready?
Paved paradise, put up a parking lot.